Episode 239, April 11th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
From radio, now in a closet studio, they are Rob and Joe. All the listeners in the chat room, they make Rob mad, mad, mad. But when they slurp our producer, oh, you know it makes them glad, glad. The girls that Joe loves so, they're all too young to vote. He wants them. Oh, time to his bedpost.
Well, we're back, folks. We're back live, which means Robbie, which means the chat, which means the show in the way it's supposed to be, right, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, yeah, listen, Robbie stresses me out. And he's an overreactor, but the show is 100 times better with him. So I am glad that he's back.
Why is the show 100 times better with Robbie? Because I don't think you really think.
I do. No, Robbie's got good instincts. And although he has bad instincts about the murder mystery, which we're going to talk about. actually, now's a good time, right? So Robbie called me, but he didn't call me like, hey, man, I want to give you my opinion on this. He called me legitimately distressed. Robbie,
because,
is that fair to
hold
say?
Hold on, Joe. Because April 3rd, we debuted our newest murder mystery, Superhero Homicide.
Correct. And in that production, I have a live turtle. And Robbie called me. And it wasn't one of these calls to say, hey, I think this is a good idea. That's a bad idea. You know what I mean? He called me. He goes, dude, I want to make a plea. Please lose the turtle. It's so stressful. I mean, Robbie agreed you were in distress. Is that a fair statement?
I'm still in distress over it.
Why?
I do not like seeing the live animal on stage. It stresses me out.
I don't understand. What do you stress for the animal? You're stressed that it's going to someone?
Yes. I'm stressed about the live animal not in the water that Joe's holding it the whole time. It's upsetting to me.
Well, you didn't know it was supposed to be in the water, did you? Did I tell you that?
No, I know a turtle needs water.
No. I mean, obviously, everything needs water, but some turtles, like box turtles, they just crawl through the woods. I mean, you know, yeah, you didn't know. What are you, a turtle expert? You don't know what kind of turtle it is. Now, you happen to be right. It was. It did live in the water.
It actually died, but...
It didn't die. Did you hear that, Robbie? It died.
It really died?
No, I'm just kidding.
So, what if the turtle was in its cage and in water?
I know that a puppet would be a better prop, and my feeling is that I'm seeing a live animal that Joe's holding, and I don't like it. It upsets me.
Did you like on like Johnny Carson when that guy Jack Hanna would come on with the animals, or did you turn it off like it was Chucky?
No.
How do you feel about that?
No, I like that.
Why weren't you stressed for the animal?
Because they bring them out, they have them on a leash, they introduce them, and then they take them off the stage.
Are you?
They're not there
the
whole time.
Get away.
If Johnny Carson came on, or if David Letterman came on, there was an animal on stage the whole time during the show. I couldn't watch the show.
Okay, but those are animals that could kill you. Some of those animals. They could do real harm. This is a turtle. It's harmless.
No, it's not. I'm not worried for the actors. I'm worried for the turtle.
Well,
I mean, you understand. Yeah, I mean, it's still alive. It's alive and kicking. The turtle's fine. By the way, you know how long that turtle can live out of water?
How long?
I don't know, like a week. You know how long it was out of water?
1 hour.
Yeah, it was right. I mean, put it right. Matter of fact, I put it in the water, back in the water, like during the when we were after that end of the first act. I put it in water.
I feel like this is your issue and only your issue, right?
No, I know other people felt the same way.
Who, your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, is that the same one who thought you were right in the argument with me? Yeah, she's on your side, Robbie. Stop doing that. Find somebody, anyone else in the audience that had a problem with the live turtle. We'll discuss it.
Maybe if Joe, when he speaks to the turtle, says it enjoys being out of the water for an hour a day. I mean, Robbie, you realize that the bit can't work with a stuffed animal. I mean, he's talking to a live animal. That's his superpower.
I never suggested.
If he's talking to some stuffed animal, it looks ridiculous.
I never suggested a stuffed animal.
Well, a prop, any sort of prop, anything that's not a live thing.
No,
Robbie, I'm not what do you call a puppeteer? You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm not going to know how to work a puppet.
I know.
Okay?
Yes, you could. Anybody could work a damn puppet.
What, a puppet?
Yes, a puppet. It's because to me the joke is that Joe's just really talking to himself, and he's like a ventriloquist talking to himself.
See, feel like you're fucking with us. This doesn't sound like Robbie. This sounds like something like an April Fool's joke. You want Joe Robinson handling a fucking puppet instead of talking to a live animal? I mean, Robbie, we disagree on shit, but usually you have good ideas. This is a horrible idea. It makes no sense.
Yes. By the way, also a puppet that looks like a live animal. I mean, it's gonna be like $1,000 puppet. That's what Robbie wants to make sure that this turtle is.
No, you can get him for like $50.
Okay.
Oh Jesus. What animal should the puppet be?
I think a monkey.
Jeez. I mean, then it's gonna clearly be fake, Robbie. I mean, what does it look like, a real monkey?
Yeah, kind of looks like a real monkey, like a rhesus monkey.
This doesn't sound like you. I really feel like this isn't you.
So Robbie, this monkey's gonna be there. And I'm going to be holding it. It's going to be turning its head towards me, and it's going to be scratching itself and eating bugs off itself. I mean, is that what it's going to be doing?
No, it's just going to be looking around.
I know. I understand that. I know. It's like having your hand in a sock. But if you understand that, I'm not like Shirley Winters or whatever her name was with Lamb Chop.
Winters?
What's her name? I can't remember. What's her name? Help me out.
I have no idea.
Why can't I think of her name either?
Shirley something.
Shelly.
Anyway, whatever. You get the point.
Okay. All right. Well,
anyway, so yeah, Robbie, you're not always right. You happen to be wrong on this one. No big deal. By the way, when did you become such an animal lover? By the way, this animal, by the way, is not, I'm not killing it. It's just, it's like it's inconvenience. That's what Robbie doesn't like, this animal to be inconvenienced.
Sherry Lewis, by the way.
That's it. Okay. Sherry Lewis.
All right. If Eric the actor agrees with you on this, I'll be shocked.
Please, people, back me up. Tell them to put the live animal.
Well,
back
listen,
where
and
it
if
belongs.
You're some sort of PETA, whatever. Listen, the animal is a pet. It's not in distress. The animal is. Listen, it doesn't know. It doesn't know if it's where it is. It doesn't know it's in a show.
It didn't look like it was having a good time.
Well, it's
Robbie,
a turtle. How can you tell? What do you think?
Can't change its expression. A turtle can't change its face. It can't smile or frown.
If we took a picture of 10 turtles, could you tell which one was having the most fun, Robbie?
If it's moving
that
around,
one just got a job promotion. I mean, come on.
If it's moving around, yes, it looks like it's in distress.
Should we have a lineup? Like, you know, like, you know, you're picking the culprit.
It's like Unusual Suspects. They're going to have that lineup where they all curse. Robbie, come on. All right. Well, welcome back, I guess. Any critiques on the Rob and Joe show since you're on a roll?
No, I just I took exception with you kept saying that we should put the a link to donate on the website. That's all.
Well, okay, we got another donation, $33. So that's an even split from am I saying this right? McMahon Enterprises. I believe I have his full name. If I find it, I want to say Jeremy. Thank you. Easy split, obviously, with the money. So we've been getting money just by people PayPaling me. It seems to be working. But you put up a picture of our Podbean page, pages that no one goes to, and there's a link on there to give money.
There'd never be a reason for anyone to go to it.
They have to make it. They have to make an effort to look up Rob's Gmail and donate. They couldn't just go.
No, they don't. No, they don't. It's just Rob Mayer. Google Rob Mayer PayPal.
They couldn't Google Podbean Rob and Joe Show.
Why would why would they say Podbean? No one listens to it on Podbean. They listen on iTunes. Yeah, they listen
listens to the show at Googling Rob and PayPal either.
But here's the thing, Robbie.
It's an apparatus to donate. It's always been there. I've mentioned it many times, and you ignore that I've mentioned
it many
times.
Your beef is that you think somebody's giving you a job. And I know that Rob said that, but what I'm saying is that people are able to donate, and they're able to do it through Rob's PayPal. As a matter of fact,
I don't object to that. What I object to is bringing up that it should be on the our Rob and Joe page.
Okay.
In other words,
it probably should
give Robbie a job.
Do it, I get it. So I get it. But here's the thing, Mac Bergson. You know, he attempted to give money to the Rob and Joe show.
Our biggest fan.
He tried to give money to us. And he actually reached out to you, the person who's bitching about it being on the Podbean page, and he said he never could figure it out. So he gave up. You understand? We could have had the money a year ago, but he gave up. So then he finally got to Rob, and Rob's like, oh, do this. Boom, 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 and it showed up.
He just did it. He just figured it out. Rob Mayer PayPal, boom, figured it out.
I get what you're saying, but no more argument for it to be on the website. If you don't want to put it on there, that's fine. But let's not imply like it's as easy to get to Podbean or do it on Podbean. It's just not. It's a medium that people aren't familiar with. It's a page nobody ever goes to. And it obviously was easier, at least for the biggest donation that we got, for it to get to Robin. By the way, since that floodgate opened, we've gotten like 7 donations at this point.
Yes. Jeremy McMahon says, thanks for the funny gents. Thank you, Jeremy.
One of those donations was 3 cents or whatever the hell
Mermelstein
gave us, which is insulting, Mermelstein. It is.
5 cents. Five cents.
And I agree with the audience poll. We should use it to invest in technology for the show.
Well, we're getting to the point where we might be able to do that. All right. So there's that. Feel free to keep giving me money because, you know, technically I could just keep this money. I have it. So I could.
You possess it, right?
I do possess it. Robbie, you mentioned this to me on the phone a few weeks ago, and I've withheld bringing it up because I think it's funnier with you here. But you say that there is something that's more weird than me not introducing Joe to my father, something that Joe did that you say, you claim is weirder than that, correct?
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
100%.
Do you want to have the honors?
No, you do it.
Joe and Katie are living together and you never talked about it.
Well, yeah, that's because it's not weirder because there are other people involved in this that might not want that information to be public. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that might not be information.
I'm not talking about mentioning it on the show. I'm talking
What's
about
that?
You didn't. No, I'm not saying it's weird that you didn't mention it on the show. I'm saying it's weird that you didn't tell anybody in the family.
What's strange is that Katie and I literally spend every single day together. We do. I mean, literally every single day. At some point, whether or not, even if I go out, either she'll be at my house or whatever. So it really doesn't feel any different. It never occurred to me that you know what I mean.
It really is a big step in the relationship. Now she has another home, so it's not like it's not as big a step because she could leave at any second.
By the way, she's legally obligated to live in that other house, which she does. Okay, just letting you know, she doesn't live with me. She lives in that other house. So thanks for bringing that up. Maybe it makes more sense now. Okay, so I'm just saying, maybe that makes more sense now.
You don't think it's weird that you didn't mention it to Robbie? You didn't make
Once again, decision. She doesn't live in my house. She lives in the house that she bought, that she's obligated to live in for a year based on the loan that she has.
Gotcha. Did he solve the crime where the guns were missing?
that's why I had to get the hell out of there.
The other day, I have an Instagram page. You can just find it on our Podbean. No, it's just Podbean. And I see this hot chick follows me, so... You know, she looks familiar in the photo, but I can't tell if I just know her or if it's just like that's like some celebrity's photo is her profile pic. So I follow back. I'm starting looking at her pics. And it's a lot of pics of her kids, and I'm getting less interested. And then I see a picture of Justin. And it was, oh, that's Justin Schlegel's girlfriend. Okay. So that's who I think this is a hot chick has followed me. And then I realize, oh, and of course, that's why I recognize her, because I know her. So, but it did get me thinking, she has her Instagram page with Justin's pictures on it. Katie has an Instagram page. No pictures of you on her Instagram.
There, how recently has she updated it?
I don't know, but you've been dating 2 years. I'm pretty sure it's been updated since then.
Huh. Well, I'm on her Facebook a lot. I don't think she's hiding me. But, you know, listen, she can't be super proud. You know what I mean? Let's be honest, right? I mean, yeah, I mean, I got to give her that. At least give her the opportunity to, you know, have something that doesn't include me.
Well, when you go out, when we go out together, you go out with her. I mean, you do well in social settings. So anything that's awkward with the age and stuff and her being a 10 and you being you, you overcome that. It makes more sense. But I get that just a picture.
Yeah, people would be alarming. Like, who's that? What's going on here? Yeah, you're right. You got to give her that.
But I think she ought to put a picture, at least the two of you together. I mean, she has, do you have any of those? I never see those, by the way.
We have pictures up. Actually, you've come over, and there's pictures of us on the bookcase.
Okay. Yeah, like I would notice that. All right. You hung out with the Spiwax this past weekend at the Duran Duran concert. I'm going to be at Tally Ho telling jokes in Leesburg this Friday, and the Spiwax are coming to that. So I think we should put the question to Carrie Spiwak, Rob's beautiful wife, after spending a night with you, essentially, and then seeing me do stand-up and being Facebook friends with both of us, at this point next week, who will she claim to like better?
Well, that's a little unfair. Here's why.
Okay.
Because you have an opportunity now, because I didn't know there was a competition. You do know. You know there's a competition. So you can actually go and effort it. I couldn't do that, or I didn't know to do that. Now,
would that help or hurt me? I mean, that doesn't
Well, no, come on. Obviously, you know, there's things that I could have done, because here's the thing. When we met up with them, for the first, I don't know, even 30 minutes, Katie was talking to Carrie and Rob, and I was talking to my former landlord, Dave, and his girlfriend, Natalie. I was talking to them. But we were all together, but you can't, it's hard to talk six in a group. Right. So that's how we were kind of separated. Eventually, I worked my way around and I talked to those guys. But, you know, you have an opportunity. But if I had to do it all over again, then I would have gone in there. I would have told some great stories. You know what I mean? I would have really worked hard to endear myself if I knew I was in a competition to, you know, win her affections over you.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm too lazy to work extra hard. Plus, I'm doing stand-up. I am working. So how much schmooze time would I have?
Yeah, that's the other thing, though. She gets to see you in your element. I was just a guy standing. You see what I'm saying? She gets to see that you have this talent that she didn't see from me. I'm just a guy happened to be having a conversation with her. I don't think it's apples to apples. I don't.
So you're already saying I'm going to win.
I mean, so it's happening? All right. Then I'm
Well, I mean,
fine.
She doesn't know. I mean, unless she's going to listen before Friday, which is possible.
She listened. She told me.
Okay. Well, then she's going to know.
Yeah, but she and she's listening to this right now. Then she needs to know that I didn't put my best foot forward. I could have. Now I did talk to them a lot, but if I had known I was in a competition with you, I would have been there the whole time.
Well, I'm not gonna try to win by being extra nice to her. I'm just gonna be who I am.
All right.
You just gotta trust me on this.
God, I still want to win.
I don't know. I mean, Robbie, who do you? You don't really know her at all, but who do you think she would like better?
Women usually won't give that answer. I can't.
Oh, you think that she won't? Okay, forget that. Let's say she doesn't give the answer. Who do you think she would like better?
Based on who she's married to, I think she's going to like Rob better.
Why do you say that? Oh, because he's a nicer guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, nice. But I know that she likes her. You know what? Actually, she sent me a friend request on Facebook after the interview on their show about Tom Arnold. She liked that I was smarmy. She liked it.
Okay.
So that might be an advantage that I have.
Well,
I'm not smarmy, by the way. I don't, that's an unfair
She label. Probably likes that you like Duran Duran, because apparently that's one of her favorite groups of all
time. I do like Duran Duran. And as a matter of fact, we were saying we clearly knew the best looking of the members of the band. A lot of people say Simon Le Bon. It's not.
Rob,
John Taylor.
Trivia, do you remember who was the one who called Joe Smarmy?
That was Kirk McEwen?
Exactly.
Yeah. Katie just posted on Facebook two pictures of the two of you together. And I can see why they're not on Instagram. let's take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to detail the Kevin Hart show. It happened. And I'm going to talk about it in all its glory, plus some concert stories. And our buddy J.L. Covan has given me a great poll question. We'll delve into that. Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, April 14th at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit dielaughingproductions.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
All right. So do you want to do this concert stuff first, Joe, or do you want me to get into the TV show?
Well, people want to hear about the TV show, but let's tease it a little bit more. So we'll talk about the concert first, since we were just talking about spending time with Carrie Spiewak. Because we were talking about the first concerts we ever went to, and I'm always bragged because the first concert I ever went to, and Robbie, it might have been your first concert too, correct? Kiss?
We saw Aerosmith before we saw Kiss.
Nope, saw Aerosmith in 80. We saw Kiss in 79.
They're both good answers.
We saw 79. We saw Kiss on the Kiss Alive 2 tour. We went with Chris Bent, my father, and Robbie. And then the following year, we went with Larry Russo, God rest his soul. My mom, Larry's mom, me, and Robbie went to go see Aerosmith, 1980, the Night in the Ruts tour.
Joe, remember.
If you'd like to lay some money on that, I'd be willing to do
no,
that.
No, Joe, you remember stuff better. You know details I couldn't possibly recall.
It is impressive.
So the concert was the Kiss. Was the first concert I went to was Kiss. Now, I'm not acting like Kiss is the greatest band in the world, but for a concert, and by the way, they're in their prime, okay? So they're breathing fire. They're spitting blood. By the way, they're 9 feet tall. It is just, it's amazing. They look like gods. It's such a great experience for a kid. It looks like
How
just
old are
eye
you?
Candy. What's that?
How old are you?
I'm in the fifth grade.
Oh, wow.
And so it was hard to kind of get something as good as that, because my second concert was Aerosmith. And again, this was before they sucked. There's no Love in an Elevator. There's no Pink. There's no Dude Looks Like a Lady. None of that had it come out. Every song was great. And you knew every song. And then the next concert I went to wasn't until 1983 when I saw Prince, the Purple Rain Tour. So I've seen my first three concerts.
It came out swinging.
I did. So, she said, Carrie Spiewak said her first concert, Rob, you want to guess? I think I told you already, right, Rob?
Yes, I know.
First concert, I actually think it's better than mine. Now, she's a contemporary of mine, which should give you a little bit of a hint, Robbie. And I'll give you another hint. It's R&B. It's not rock and roll.
Oh, because I was going to guess the Stones. Then it was, she saw Marvin Gaye.
No, that'd be pretty good. But I actually think this is a better concert. She saw the Jackson 5. That was her first concert.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's strong.
Robbie and I used to watch a show called Wonderama. And on this show, they used to go around to each these group of kids that were in the studio audience and ask them what their favorite group was. And if they asked 10 kids what their favorite group was, 9 would say the Jackson 5 and 1 would say the Osmonds. Am I right, Robbie? Some idiot white kid would say the Osmonds.
I don't ever remember anybody ever saying Osmonds. I only remember people saying Jackson 5 every time.
Unfortunately, the Osmonds did get some love. Yes, that's a fact. But yes, the Jackson 5 was overwhelmingly the greatest pop or the most popular. And they were also a great band. They were also a great group as well. But anyway, that was her first concert, and I was very, very impressed by that. But here's what I thought was strange. So there's a listener. Her name is Sue. How do you pronounce her last name? It's Fedor.
I don't know. She's awesome. Big fan of her.
She's awesome. She's a
Facebook
P1.
Friends.
Right. She's a big fan of the Mike O'Mara show. She listens to our show. But we're all standing there in line, you know, they're getting drinks and I'm standing there and I go, what was your first concert? She's like, I don't want to say. I go, what? She goes, I don't want to say. I go, all right. Well, I mean, even if it's ridiculous, that's cool too. You know, it's all hilarious. It's either hilarious or it's awesome, you know, whatever. We're telling stories. No, if I told you, you'd know. And I'm sitting there thinking, what could it be?
Now
what
I'm really
could
curious.
She have seen that would be so, and what did she see? Like, was it something deviant that she should? Like, what could it possibly be that she would not disclose what it was? But it wasn't even that she wouldn't disclose it because, I mean, it was almost like it wasn't even necessarily embarrassment. It was like, I can't tell. Like, I'll take this secret to the grave. And now I'm dying to know what this concert, what could it possibly have been?
Well, you don't think it was, I don't want to date myself situation, was it?
It possibly was that. So what do you think?
Why would she say it like that?
I don't know. It was very serious. It got serious.
Is there somebody, is there like a Bill Cosby kind of person that's now you don't even want to even think about because what
I've seen Bill Cosby at Pier 6 with Mickey Coachella and his dad. I mean,
is there a musician equivalent of that?
I mean, Phil Spector. I don't know who's maybe who could you have seen that's embarrassing.
But is there something like that, or is there? I mean, who would it be that would be? It would just be so embarrassingly bad. The Monkees or something. I mean, that's still funny though.
Oh, the Monkees! I would love to have seen the Monkees.
Hey, I saw the Monkees.
Yeah, I mean, but it's your first concert. You're probably 15 years old. What do you? I mean, you're 10 or something. Who knows? It's like your fault.
Well, usually your first concert is going to be some sort of, you know, kids group. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm curious. I want to know. See, now I really want to know. This is the what you've done, Sue, is the opposite of what you're trying to do. Is now the world wants to know your first concert, and we're going.
And if she's dating herself, I mean, who could it be? The Andrews sisters? Like, who is it? You know, I don't know who you could have seen that would make me say, "Wow, you're old." Because even the great groups that are from back in the day, they still tour. You know what I mean? I just saw The Who this year.
But Sue looks good. So if it is really old, that's just a credit to her. I mean, her first concert was, Benny Goodman or something. I don't know. And wow, you're looking great. So I don't know how old
Benny Goodman. Cab Calloway. That was her first concert.
Right. Well, we're dying to know, Sue. So.
Oh, and then, sorry.
Okay.
So I then took, I took Joey to his first concert, The Who. And again, we talked about this, but The Who, it was cool to see them. It's a privilege to see them, but they don't, I mean, they're 70, Pete Townsend 70, Roger Daltrey 72. They don't have what they had. They don't. So I saw Duran Duran on Friday. And that was just kind of, I wouldn't say it was a throwaway concert, but I mean, I'm going to see Hall & Oates. I mean, I was going to see The Cult, which I'll talk about on Sunday. Duran Duran seemed cool. Well, first of all, they filled the Verizon Center, which I had no idea that they had that kind of draw. Did you guys know that?
No, I saw them at Merriweather a few years ago, and that seemed more their speed.
So they filled the Verizon Center, opening up for them Nile Rodgers, okay, which was a pretty amazing opening act. You'd be surprised all the songs that he was involved in, and he did them all. Get Lucky by Daft Punk, Modern Love Let's Dance by David Bowie. I mean, just a bunch of different songs. We Are
That's
Family.
That's a big-time opener.
Yes, a big-time opener. And I'm telling you what, they fucking killed it. They Duran Duran did. It was a great concert. They sounded amazing. They looked good. So if anybody's out there and gets an opportunity to see those guys, it surprised me. These guys were really, really, really good. They sound great. It was a great concert. It really, really was. But I then went to go see The Cult. And I don't know if you're familiar with the band The Cult, but they really are a great rock and roll band. And they have some really, really good songs. But they're a little bit like AC/DC in that even if you don't know their songs, even if there's some songs you don't know, they're going to be rock, three-chord rock and roll songs. It's still going to sound good. You're still going to be able to kind of bob your head to it and all that stuff. So me and my son James, it's his first concert. James is 15 years old. He turned 16 this month. And we're standing, and we work our way all the way up to almost dead center. We're 10 feet from Ian Astbury, I believe is his name, the lead singer.
What's the venue? Where are you at?
It's at the Fillmore in Silver Spring. We're 10 feet from this guy. And he comes out and he looks cool. He's wearing sunglasses, so it gives him illusion of looking younger and all this stuff. And he sounds great, and the band sounds great. And it's amazing, right? Next thing you know, this fucking wildebeest, who apparently is the biggest Cult fan in the world. I'm telling you right now, if this girl weighed anything less than 350, I wouldn't believe. She was a gigantic, gigantic woman. And she comes busting up. Now, I don't care if this girl gets in front of me, but I care if she gets in front of my son. I don't want her in front of my son. First of all, she's taller than me. She's screaming. She's whipping her hair around. I don't want her to ruin this experience for him. So I'm literally like I have my back like pressed against her blubber. And she, I can feel her dancing, but so she's dry humping me basically as I create as best as I can this wall to protect my son, not from harm, but I don't want anything to ruin this concert experience. So I'm working hard to box this girl out, and I box her out for about an hour. Okay. Finally, she just busts through. You know, like the kids run through the paper when they're at a football, little league football. Right. That's what it was like. She just, enough.
Kool-Aid man.
Exactly. And she just charged through and she made it up. Well, if you've ever been to the Fillmore, it's a cool venue. There's like a fence almost. And then there's about a 3-foot gap that where people can walk that separates you from the stage. But she busts her way up there. Well, up there are these dregs. Okay. I mean, these guys, they're probably in their mid-50s. They smell. Their hair. They still have the same haircuts from the 1970s. I mean, they are these disgusting. She busts her way up to the front in with these guys. So as soon as he gets up there, now me and James are directly behind them. When we were right up front, we're now right behind this guy who had never met this wildebeest before and the actual wildebeest. He then puts his arms around her. She's screaming. He just starts grabbing her tits.
Yeah.
Right there. This rape culture guy just starts feeling her. He feels her tits through 4 songs. He is doing nothing but just fondling her tits. Love Removal Machine, She Sells Sanctuary, Fire Woman. They did a song off their new album. By the way, there's also an encore. So they left the stage, walked back on the whole entire time. I have never seen anything like that. Have you?
No. I mean, I assume she was liking this, the attention.
It is weird because she had a friend.
Or not, I don't know.
And this friend was like it was like a calf. You know what I'm saying? Like she was also fat, but she wasn't, you know what I mean? She was just, and you know what? She saw her friend being literally groped by this stranger. You know what she did?
Nothing.
Nothing. She didn't do anything. She just like, oh, that's what she does. And I'm imagining like this woman was really, really just grotesque. Okay. She really was. But I got to imagine that even if you're like, okay, well, you know, I don't really know the touch of a man too much. You still have to have some discretion, right? You don't just listen. I've always said this before, you know, granted, usually you have to kind of date within your, I know that this doesn't apply to me and you, but for the most part, you have to date within 1 or 2 numbers of how you look.
Sure.
You have to. It's hard to do otherwise. But that doesn't mean a guy who's a 2 doesn't still think Jessica Alba's hot. You follow what I'm saying? Like right. The elephant man isn't attracted to other deformed girls. He's still attracted to Kate Upton. You understand? So that's what I'm saying. So even if you're this guy who probably has a very, very narrow pool of women to choose from, right? This woman, I mean, how she made it into the group of women that he'd be interested in, it's beyond me.
She was just there. It's why do you eat at 7-Eleven for lunch?
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, but I'm telling you, I don't ever remember at my drunkest or most affected or most desperate or saddest or loneliest time that I ever would have found myself just feeling up this giant woman in front of it. By the way, they're not off in a corner somewhere. You understand? They're not. Then there's corners there.
All right, Joe, I got a question.
Yeah.
Let's say this happens occasionally where there's 2 guys are out and the one guy's interested in the one girl, but his buddy has to like entertain her friend. So let's say I've got a chance with a Morena Baccarin, who we both think is one of the hottest women in the world from Homeland, the wife. She was on V. She's the wife in Deadpool.
You said one of. I think she's the second hottest woman in the world. Who's first, Katie, one? Of course. Second of course. Is that.
Right. So she's amazing. So let's say this is her friend. So we have to double date. You have to go out with, will you go out with this girl for me?
So the answer would normally be no, but I would not deny you an opportunity at, what's her name again?
Morena Baccarin.
Yeah, I probably would. Now you say date. I'm not making out with this girl. I'm not.
Hold on, hold on.
Hand.
We'll get to that. So okay. We'll go to dinner together.
But here's the other thing for that. But honestly, if it's just a regular girl, it's going to be difficult for anybody to have that other girl and say, listen, I need a favor from you. I mean, that is a tall, tall order. This girl wasn't just a regular, you know, three or four. She was an elitely disgusting woman. And it wasn't just, by the way, I know I'm going to get hated on. She was sweaty and she, I mean, it was just a gross. And she was also aggressive. And, you know, she was everything I
you
don't
can be
like.
A large woman or a large man, but it's obvious that you still take care of yourself. You care about
yes,
your
this
appearance.
Woman was, this was not, she was also hammered, which you think about it, the amount of alcohol that would need, yeah. she would need to ingest just for pure size.
Hey, Rob, you wouldn't slow dance with this woman for me?
I'd slow dance with her, sure.
Did you make out with her on the dance floor?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't make out.
I get to have sex with Marina Baccarin and you.
Dude, I'm telling you, I can't. Here's the thing. I mean, honestly, and I think about this. It's almost like, would you do that? Would you have sex with this for $1 million? There's a certain place that I physically can't do things. You know what I mean?
Make out.
I'm telling you, I genuinely feel like I would feel nauseous. She was a grotesque creature. Would you make out with the creature from the Black Lagoon? Would you make out with that thing? You would? What if it bit your tongue off?
Look, I'm not going to do something that's going to physically harm me.
I mean, I don't know what's
going to
happen.
I wouldn't make out with that turtle.
Robbie, you would have been more distressed talking to this woman than you would me talking to the turtle.
Let me tell you something. I'm so glad I wasn't at that concert because the Cult is on my sexy mix, and that might ruin it for me.
What song? She Sells Sanctuary?
No, Painted on My Heart.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wait for the third break to tell the Kevin Hart stuff. So let's just wrap up a few more things then before we get to that chunk of the show. Tom Arnold was at the Arlington Draft House. Our buddy Mike Finazza was his feature. Got a report secondhand that he did not let anyone in the green room. Tom did not. And that he wanted a two-person show. So that means he knows that he wants a two-person show, but yet he still allows the club to book an MC, knowing that MC is going to get fired after one night.
Yeah, and again, I mean, how outraged should you be by that? I mean, yeah.
I'm very outraged. As a comedian, you're an MC,
obviously, if you get booked.
You don't get a lot of work. You're excited.
Right.
You're with Tom Arnold. I'm sure you wouldn't tell people about it. You probably have people coming. If they don't come the first night, they don't get to see you. Plus, you don't. You know, you're insecure because you're a comic. So you're thinking, is it me that I do something wrong? You don't know. So it does bother me. Now, is it the club's fault? Maybe two times in a row, possibly, that he told them because they asked that question. That's not something they go over this shit. Are you bringing an opener? Do you want this? That all is negotiated. So I guess it could be the club's error twice in a row, two different places. But it does bother me as a comedian to put the MC through that.
The truth is this. The reason that he doesn't do it is because he doesn't fucking care. And again, I don't want to sell people on the idea that Tom Arnold's a bad guy. People can form whatever opinion they want. I really don't care. But this is my opinion, okay? You watch his act. He drops 100 names. It's very, very important to him, status.
Right.
How important are you? And the people that are beneath him, he looks at them as his subjects. Like, you work for me. And meaning, oh, you're down here. Well, then you'll just do what I tell you to do because I'm a Tom Arnold. And whether he's entitled to that because he's the headliner or whatever. But this idea that he's a people pleaser, that is not true. He is a star fucker, but he also happens to be a star. That's what he is. So if you are below the rank of what he considers to be an important person, then you're going to be treated with just disrespect. I don't know if that's the word, but you're nothing to him. It's nothing. He doesn't give a fuck about you. And that's really the issue. And again, I wouldn't have cared about any of this if I was, and I told the story and everything I said was true, but then the 55 tweets came out. Now it's become this other thing, but that's the reason that he doesn't care, because he's like, I'm a headliner and I'll just make my demands when I show up because it's not important to me to be courteous to people like the people running this room because they're not important to me. They're not. Now, if this room was being run by, sorry, go ahead, what?
No, I just want to say Mike did say on Facebook that he was very friendly to him. So I don't want to, you know, I really don't want this to start up again. I'm just giving an update because he was in the area a few weeks after being in Baltimore with you. So it just seemed like there should be an update on what
the hell was wrong with his face in the picture.
He didn't look too good.
He looked like a deflated basketball.
Really, because he did look good when he worked with me. He really did.
You stressed him out, Joe.
Maybe I knew it looked like he dyed his hair because his hair looked good. He was fit. I mean, yeah, he did look good. And I had said that before because they made a joke about him because I guess he used to be a fat guy or whatever. But they made a joke, and I said, no, he didn't look, he wasn't fat. He looked good.
Update on last week, we found out that Grams is an alien. You've never seen him drink water, and there's news on that, right?
Yeah, so my father called me after he heard the show. And of course, you know, my father, who I love, everybody like me and you and Robbie, we don't mind being the butt of the joke. Gramps doesn't like it. He doesn't. I know that he doesn't. So I get a little distressed when I know I'm going to make fun of Gramps. So I didn't know if he was calling me to be like, hey, why are you saying I don't drink water? I drink water all the time. I didn't know what was coming.
Right.
But what he did call about was, and we'll talk about this too, we talked the wig last week. We talked about I'm not going to wear it again. Gramps was lobbying for me to wear the wig at the murder mystery. The last thing in the world that I want to do, but he was lobbying for me to wear it. But then I said, oh, I thought you were calling about the water. And I go, do you ever drink water? He goes, no, not really. So he was right. He doesn't drink any water.
But didn't you say that your stepmom has been trying to get him?
Yes. Yeah, he did tell me that. So every night, my stepmother brings a glass of water down to him and he has to drink it. And I guarantee you that's a function of him having not had any water for, you know, the better part of 60 years or however long he's been on the planet, right?
One more thing. I had some Facebook drama yesterday. I don't know if you caught any of that, Joe.
No, but I heard you. I got a text from you and I wasn't able to research it.
So Doris Burke, she's a commentator, NBA commentator. She's very good. She's on the play-by-play guy is, but it's on, you know, ABC or whatever the channel. Yeah, it's ABC. She's ESPN. She's really good. And there's the little video of her at a game and the ball came. It's, you know, it's like a timeout or something or before the game.
Oh, I saw that. She dribbled between her legs or whatever.
Yeah, she catches the ball and then she dribbles it behind her back once and then she puts it on the ball rack. And she's a former college basketball player and she looks like she's in great shape. She's super smart at what knows the game really well. And it was trending and ESPN's like, look at Doris Burke. Everyone's freaking out. And all I posted was, look, guys are just so amazed when a woman can do anything that it's trending that a former college basketball player can dribble. Because it's not that big a deal. If it was a male counterpart, it wouldn't be a big deal. My point is that guys are freaking out because they don't think she can do that. And my point is, why couldn't she do that? She was an elite basketball player who's clearly in good shape. She dribbled it behind her back. It's not that big a deal. It's like when you play basketball with a bunch of black guys, you're a white guy, you get an uncontested 15-footer, they call you Larry Bird, one of the greatest players of all time. Because right, you right. made a wide-open shot from 18 feet. But people took it, some people, that I'm like a sexist. And they're like, well, what have you ever done in your life? And you piece
well, it's
of
actually
shit,
the opposite
asshole.
Of being a sexist.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Right, and I'm like, are you fuck? And it was, by the way, I don't know where they came from. It was no one that was my friend. Somehow people just started commenting on this that I'm not friends with. It's like, where did you come from? And it's like, my point is, we
that
shouldn't
she,
be
should
that
be
surprised
that
she
did that right.
Yes,
right.
Because I think she's an awesome, she was an elite basketball player. She's a little older, so they didn't have the WNBA, but she was a world-class top 0.1% female player in the world. So yes, she can fucking dribble, okay? So when you it's trending that she does this, which wasn't that hard, by the way, then you're saying you didn't expect she should do that, and I'm making fun of that. Anyway.
Now, she was, but in the defense of the people that posted it, it was cool that she did it.
Of
not
course
necessarily
it's cool
that
she
could.
Did it.
Right, right. She was also wearing her, you know, commentator clothes.
No,
which
it was cool, yeah. But if it was a male guy did the same thing, no one would say shit.
No, you're right. You're right. But it's hilarious that they shit on you, though.
It is hilarious. We'll come right back. I'll tell the whole story myself, Comedy Central, Kevin Hart, Robin Joshua. Be right back.
Me, a cat moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
If you heard last week, I had some breaking news. I'll just recap quickly. 7-8 weeks ago, I got an email, a vague email about a late night or a TV stand-up set. Didn't know much details other than they were interested. I sent them a tape. They liked it. and then didn't hear anything. And then March 31st, I get an email that it's the taping is in 1 week, and it's Kevin Hart's show, and it's on Comedy Central. And boom, I got the show. So we went from, well, this could be cool, to forgetting about it, to bam, this shit is happening. So myself, Jamel Johnson, and Lafayette Writer, two comics that I know and I'm friends with that are very funny. I'm glad I got to do a show with them. But the show is called Heart of the City. It's a brand new show. It's Kevin Hart's production company. He is in the show. And the idea is that he goes to eight different cities and gets to know, like, the scene, something about the comedy scene that's specific to that area, and gets to know the comics. So it's a two-part thing. There's a roundtable discussion that we shot at Ben's Chili Bowl, which is a kind of a D.C. landmark. And then that night, we each did a 10-minute set at The Big Hunt, which is a kind of a dive bar. They're going for it. They don't want the improv. They don't want anything shiny. They want it to look like you're grinding in the city, just trying to become something. So it's purposely shot in venues like that. So we meet 12:30 is our time, our call time, at Ben's Chili Bowl. Get there, and I'm happy that Lafayette and Jamel are not the stereotypical great dressing black guys.
All right.
So I didn't have to worry about I was dressed the best. So that was good, because I didn't have to stress that they're going to look amazing and stuff. Because Roland Martin, who's a commentator, he has a show where he has comics on. It's a new show, but he has this funny segment. And I'm sure I could get on if I had. It doesn't pay anything, but you get some publicity. But half the segment is him just talking about the clothes the guys are wearing. And they're just ragging on each other. It's like, I don't want a part of that. I don't have some nice suit. So I don't want that, right? So I'm happy that it's those two guys. They're not going to upstage me, you know, with some fucking nice suit. So I get there, this guy Cletus, white guy, is our contact. Super friendly right off the bat. Hey, when things start happening for you, you have any advice, I'm your guy. I can talk to you. He produced one of Mike Birbiglia's tours. He used to work for Comedy Central Networks, for his production company. Super cool guy. And his boss comes up. She already knows me. So you felt like, you know, they picked me. They picked us. So they knew us, as opposed to like the thing I did with Comedy Central where I won the contest in Virginia Beach. They were friendly, but I just won a contest. I won my round. Now I was there. Here I've been selected. So you felt right off the bat, you feel warm and welcome and you feel good. So he's not there yet. They put some makeup on. We sit. The restaurant's open. So the idea is
now
to
you
shoot.
You said
this.
You like wearing makeup. You said that.
I do, because I look better.
And what did it take away? Wrinkles? Did it make you tan? What did you like about it?
I mean, it's just a little bit. It just makes your skin, you just look a little cleaner and younger.
Why don't you wear it all the time?
I'd like to, actually. I mean, if that became a thing where it was like people weren't asking me about it, it was normal, I would totally do that. Not like I'm not wearing like eyeshadow, you know? It's not like I'm not like a drag queen.
No, but you are wearing like eyeliner, right?
No, they just pat some stuff on your face, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, it took 2 minutes.
Real quick, I remember when Robbie and I were in a play, I liked wearing the makeup too. Made me look good. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So we sit down, the three of us. They have these cameras there, and they're making sure we're sat in the right spot. They got food in front of us. We're just waiting for Kevin now. And they keep saying, he's landing in 15 minutes. I'm like, he's landing? What is he, a helicopter? But that's just the way they talk. But it made it sound cool. He's landing. So he's going to be here in 10 minutes. 10 minutes goes by. 5 minutes. 5 minutes goes by. It's going to be in 3. 5 minutes go by. It's going to be in 2. A minute goes by. It's going to be in 5. You know, just so finally he shows up, and we don't like talk to him. We can't get up and say hi because we can't move, because where we're sat, the shot is so tight from these two angles. We can't disrupt the chairs or anything. So he literally just sits down. How you doing? On his phone for like 30 seconds. Boom, we're rolling. And the idea is just to they're going to splice in this conversation with our stand-up that night. So some basic questions, how long are you doing comedy? What's it like in the DC scene? And I didn't say anything particularly funny, but I felt like we were having a really good conversation. I was making points about comedy that I felt like he was resonating with him, with my philosophy Jamel was being given some real good DC-centric stuff. So I felt like in my mind, this is going well. We're making DC look cool and interesting. But I want my black girlfriend chunk is like, that's my get my famous jokes. That's my right. shit.
We talked about that last week.
Right. And I definitely want that to air. Now, it would probably air regardless because it's my best jokes. But when he asked your worst bombing story, it's not a good story for that because it's not a quick story. But I purposely told the story about how when I mentioned I had a black girlfriend and these guys were booing me. I told that because I didn't want them to cut to me telling right. the joke. So anyway, that goes fine. Then we head over to the big hunt where the show is. We're just sitting around for like 4 hours, basically. They're shooting stuff because the very opening of the series, they're shooting it there. He's going to walk down these steps. That's going to open every episode of the series. So he's doing stuff. But we're just literally just sitting around. And Jamel and Lafayette are pretty laid back guys. So they weren't stressed. They were cool. So everyone was laid back. So I was laid back. So finally, you know, I'm concerned at one point because I want the audience to be mixed. I don't want all white people. And this is sort of a white, sort of almost a hipster vibe, this room. And I don't want that. Well, luckily, I see who's coming in. And I'm like, oh, okay, we have a mix. It's my perfect audience, what I want. So now they've packed in. It only seats like 30 people. Chairs, no tables. You're right on top of them. Small room. And we got an MC, and then we have Jamel's going first, then Lafayette, then me, and then Sean, this guy who runs the room, Sean Joyce. So beforehand, when we're going up and they're shooting us to make sure how we look on camera and getting the sound right, people are filing in. I start like talking to people. I'm crushing. So I'm actually killing before
my talking to them. Okay.
Yes. Gotcha. So I'm like, okay, this is good. They're liking me. I'm establishing a rapport. This is a good thing. So Ralph Cooper is the MC. He gets the show going. Well, first of all, they come out. They kept stressing this. Kevin said this. His producer said this. It's like, this show is about you. So during the interview with Kevin, don't ask him questions. Well, what was it like doing this movie? It's not about him. It's about you. And then during the stand-up, like, this is all about you. So they made you feel really, like, wanted and comfortable and confident. And then the guy opens the show. The producer's like, hey, you're on TV. Laugh, laugh, laugh. So you feel like, okay, it's a pitch right down the middle, essentially. Just swing and hit it, right? And so Jamel goes up, or the MC goes up, does fine job, brings up Jamel, very good set. Lafayette goes up, very good set. So now it's my turn. I'm getting, you know, the heart's beating a little bit, but I feel pretty comfortable. So Ralph, the MC, is doing a few minutes in between, and he tells his joke about how he works with these Chinese people, and they call him Gay Li, which means something in Chinese that describes the kind of person he is, but the joke is that they're calling him Gay Li, whatever. So he introduces me. I go out, and I say, give it up for Gay Li. I'm crushing. Okay, so they're already laughing. So I'm like, okay.
That clearly won't be able to make it into the...
No, but I also
because
know...
Because nobody will get that, right?
Well, right, but I know that they're not going to air the whole 10 minutes. So they're like, if you want to mess around, that's fine. Do stuff. You right. can do more than 10. We're not going to air the whole thing. So that also made me feel at ease because it's not like a late night show where you're set. You got 6 minutes. Everything's going to go on.
Right.
Unless you screw up and then they cut you. So this is your set. There's no filler. There's no talking to the crowd. It's just boom, joke, joke, joke. And it's not like a contest where if one joke bombs, you feel like you're behind. They'll just edit that out. So my philosophy is, and we talked about this last week, I'm just going to try to make this crowd laugh. And that means fucking around with them a little bit to get me comfortable and get them laughing. Then that's what I'm going to do. So without cursing, basically, during my set. So I open with that. And that's making fun of him. Crushes. There was 3 black guys ahead of me. I go, finally, a white guy, right? And I put my hand out to this white guy in the front row. He grabs it, shakes my hand. I'm like, dude, I was kidding. That was racist. That's crushing, right? The room is really tiny. I start shitting on it. It's like, this is like, looks like the beginning of a bar rescue. Like, we need to change everything. So that's crushing. So I've done like a minute and a half of just bullshit and I'm killing. Now you have a camera left and a camera to your right. And then straight back, there's a camera which is facing Kevin Hart. So you can see his reactions. So then I get into my jokes. I lead off with the black girlfriend joke, which I would never do in a real set because I don't right. talk to follow. But here I want to come out swinging. So I'm coming out and it's crushing. I'm looking at him. He's snapping on his, you know, leg, big movements. And I'm like, this is going great. So, I mean, it can't go any better. Crushes. All my other jokes do really well. And I mean, you know, was it perfect? Was it 100 out of 100? No, but it was 95 out of 100, you know?
Well, what would you have done differently? It sounds like 100 out of 100.
Well, I probably spoke a little too quickly in a couple of things. I could have slowed down a little bit. But every joke did really good or great. So I was totally happy with it. I was ecstatic with it. And then afterwards, the guy Cletus was like, yeah, the network people are here. They really liked you. The production people were like, that was really good. Kevin's like his security guy. That was awesome. Kevin was like, that's really good. So it's just positive every which way. So, I mean, I really feel like this is the start of like the second half of my life.
I hope you're right. You know, the only thing that I wish was different is I wish it was me. No, I'm just kidding. The only thing I wish was different was I wish the venue was a little bit bigger. I do. I mean, I understand I get the vibe they want to get. These are struggling comics, or these guys are there. They are in the trenches. I mean, I get what they're trying to do, but 30, that sounds so light. And what happens is they're going to go city to city. Are they going to have 30 person audiences in every city? And you probably deserve some, you know what happens when you crush like that in a room of 200. I mean, you can feel it. You know, which you still might have been able to, you know, still might have been able to do.
With the tricks of TV, it'll probably look bigger than it is, and it'll sound bigger. I'm sure this is the smallest venue they're going to do. But
I can't imagine. Yeah, they're going to have something smaller than 30. What are they going to do in somebody's living room?
No, it's impossible for that. Now, some of that was there was cameras taking a room where there would normally be seats, but it's a 50, 60 venue to begin with, so there's no way it could be that big. But I'm sure they'll have, most venues will probably be in the 50 to 75 range, but I think on TV it'll look probably bigger than in reality that it is.
No, but that's good. But when does it doesn't air though, it'll fall, right?
They don't know exactly, but they think it'll be the fall. Plus, I did start I started talking to this Cletus guy about Marabu Productions is the production company that couples with. This woman, Michelle, is the owner. She used to produce the Chappelle Show. She's big time in the business. And I pitched the Funny in Five show, and he immediately told her, and she's like, yeah, we have a similar idea. So, I mean, I feel like that has life now. And if it has any chance, it'll be now because of this.
Way to go, man. I'm proud of you. No, I was very good. I'm sorry.
The right people will be able to look at that show and be able to make it happen.
There's not a better place you could have taken it, because it would be unrealistic if it was any bigger than that. And this is the place where people like you go to thrive. So I know, I mean, this is awesome. And it sounds like it went great. And at the very least, I mean, I hope that this gets you, bumps you up, to a headliner in a lot of these clubs. I mean, maybe you'll work some improvs. You know what I mean? Maybe you'll be able to headline, a lot of these A rooms. And that's probably, I mean, if that's at the bottom of the barrel, I mean, that's a big difference maker for you. So I'm hoping this'll do exactly that. At the very least, I hope it sells some murder mystery tickets.
I think it will. Hey, and this Cletus guy, I pitched him the murder mystery too, and he's got a restaurant he owns and he wants to talk about it. See, I'm always pitching things, Joe. I'm never stopping. Yeah, it's definitely at the very least now when someone says, what's your intro? I have something to say that sounds cool. And there were some big time people there from Comedy Central, because this is Kevin Hart's show. I mean, this is the biggest name in comedy. They're going to be supporting his show. And he has a big team. I don't know how much it costs for him to get around, but he probably had 20 people there that was just in his production team, his people, his own cameraman, his security, his drivers. I mean, it's a big, just to travel. I don't know what it costs, but it's a big production.
What's his net worth, you think? I'm going to look it up. You want to guess while I'm looking it up?
I don't know, 200 million.
Hold on.
I feel like he wants to be he wants to be like Oprah. He wants to be a brand.
You're way off.
Is it lower than that? A lot lower?
Yes.
No, it's probably 50 million then.
So this is celebrity net worth. It says $45 million.
Yeah, I mean, just it seems low to me. I feel like he's probably getting $10 million a movie, and he's made 10 movies. You know?
He's also making movies with all the people that make money, with The Rock, you know, Ice Cube. You know, he's making the movies with the right people.
Yeah, well, he's trending up. So he's definitely feel like he wants to be. He wants to be the Jay-Z, a mogul. Good.
Now that he's got you in his stable, he's sky's the limit.
Right. So JL had a good question. Who leaves you first, Joe? Myself or Katie?
That's a good question. Well, obviously, I can't go on the road. I can't do it. So that's what you end up doing. If you end up being a touring headliner, then it'll be you.
Yeah, the idea, I wouldn't leave you like not be.
Right. But if you were doing that, I couldn't go with you. I couldn't. Right. And if you were around the country, you also couldn't do the murder mystery.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, I would definitely, you are the answer.
Robbie, what do you think?
You.
Gramp says in chat, if you won't introduce him to your dad, you sure won't introduce me to Kevin Hart. That's true, Gramp.
But a lot of love on Facebook. People have been super supportive, so I greatly appreciate the shout outs and everything. I'll keep everyone posted. We'll have a viewing party, I'm sure.
Dad, Robbie, what were you going to say?
No, I was asking if he was going to have a viewing party.
Absolutely have a viewing party. When I have a date, we'll make it a big production. We'll get Rob Mayer training. We'll take it over.
Why don't we have it at the Big Hunt and invite 30 people?
We can have it. We'll have it somewhere. That's a good question. Maybe we have it at McGoobie's. I don't know. Although it's a DC thing. We'll talk about that. Maybe we should probably have it at the Improv, because feature all three of us. We'll figure it out.
Remember when Dan Ninon got the Apple Watch and he was going to do, what was that? What was he going to do with that? Remember he was going to live stream it or something?
Unboxing.
Yeah. Unboxing his Apple Watch.
Yeah. Can we do that with this viewing party?
We can.
All right.
We can have a video of me watching myself on Comic Central. Last thing, Marcus, you said on the bonus show, we got a little mention on the TMOS bonus show.
Yeah, just a little mention.
You want to set it up for us?
No, I'll just play it.
Okay.
Lord Broadcasting.
Robin Joe. Hey, I've got some good news for you, everybody. Rob and Joe are going to be coming to you live tonight because they just got out of prison. That's right. Don't believe everything you read in the papers, ladies and gentlemen. Both of those guys did not touch those underage girls, and I mean that from my heart.
But they're both good at it, and now I listen to Howard Stern, and he does it too. I think those guys, some people have just an ear for that.
Well, you know, I had the idea, and I still want to do it. I want Scott Apple trying to hit the post.
I'm going to hit the post. He knows no songs.
I know. That's the beauty of it.
All right. We'll do that.
All right.
We'll get five songs together. Scott Apple will hit the post. But we can't tell him too far ahead of time, because I guess we can tell him. He won't even know what hit the post means. I also want the listeners to experience that.
Well, so, we'll have to explain it to him.
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll have him on saying, hey, we want to do another music quiz with you. Who cares? We can bait and switch him. Right. Then he gets on and go, you know what? That's not what we're doing. We're going to play these songs. You're going to talk him up like a radio DJ, and we'll see what he does.
I smell a train wreck. That's the show, everybody. Good to have the chat back. Good to have you back, Robbie. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.